This morning in our adult Bible class, we studied from, if you don't want me to speak, just tell me. You don't have to, strike me with a line. Maybe that's how Paul felt on the road to Damascus just then. I don't know. But anyway, we were studying from 1 Timothy chapter 5 about honoring widows who are, as some translations say, widows indeed. Some others say truly widows. Those who are destitute without any real, true, visible means of support from their family or otherwise. Tonight, we want to look at one such case in the Word of God of a lady who appropriately, aptly fits that particular description in 1 Timothy 5. And that is a widow that we read about in 1 Kings chapter 17. So I invite you to turn your Bible to 1 Kings 17, and this is during the ministry of the prophet Elijah. And we will begin reading in just a moment at verse 8. And we will see how God worked in some marvelous ways in this particular situation, especially how He blessed this lady in her difficulty and her distress. We will see that she is in very dire circumstances in this situation. And yet God, working through Elijah and in this situation, was able to bring about some great blessings. And from that, we will hopefully see and learn, I think, two very practical lessons as we wrap all of this up. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." If you read the first few verses of the chapter, Elijah proclaimed a drought that would last for many, many months. And this is when he says the provision for this lady would run out when the rain comes upon the earth. You keep reading, that will happen later on in the book. Verse 15, "So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah." Now, depending on what translation you have, there are some very significant words, actually one very simple significant word that we are going to use kind of to bounce around in this text to make our points. And then, like I said at the end, we're going to make two very practical applications, not only for this situation this many, many, many centuries ago, but for you and me today. But you'll notice that the word "not," N-O-T, occurs several times in this text. And that's going to kind of be the way that we're going to work our way through the text, using the looking at the use of that word here. In the beginning of the situation, the scenario that we were reading, Elijah comes to this widow, and as you look at the particular text, she says in verse 12, "I have not. I have not." And when you move down a little further in the text, in verse 13, Elijah tells her, "Fear not." So number one, "I have not." Number two, "Fear not." But number three, as you look at verse 16, the last verse that we read, it says that the flour and the oil wasted not. So that little word, N-O-T, forms a very important way for us to kind of analyze our text tonight. And we will see how this particular lady went from the scenario, the situation that she was living in of poverty and on the brink of starvation. Her last meal was there. And she says, I have not. We will see how she went from I have not all the way eventually to wasted not. The food that she had wasted not. The supply did not run dry. It did not run out. And so it was a marvelous journey of faith for this particular widow. There was a famine in the land. She was out of food. In fact, she was preparing what she decided would be her last meal for her and her family. And yet, God, through Elijah, will turn this very bleak, negative situation into a great blessing, into something very, very positive. And with the help from God, through Elijah, marvelous things would be blessed. And marvelous blessings would take place. So let's analyze the text. Number one, verses 8 through 12, she says, I have not. She is out of food. And she knows that there's no way, because of the famine, because of the drought, to really procure anything else. It's really a very desperate situation that she finds herself in. I'm quite sure that all of us in this room at one time or another have been hungry. Maybe we had been low on finances and low on food. But you can correct me if I'm wrong. But I don't know if, and I don't know everybody's situation, but I don't know if anybody in this room has ever been basically at the point of starvation, where you could go in your house and look at what was there and know, this is the last sustenance that I have. There is no more. There is no money. There is no income. There is no crop. There is no benevolent action in the community. There is nothing. I am out of everything. And you can look at your last meal in the pantry. I don't know, again, you can correct me if I'm wrong, if any of us have ever been in that dire circumstances. But she was. I have not. And so we see the sadness of all of this. And yet, we also see that she was a woman who had some kind of relationship with God and faith. Because it's not that just Elijah showed up one day, boom, out of the blue. But you'll notice when you look back at the text, when God was sending Elijah to this place, in verse 9, God says to Elijah, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So God had already communicated with the widow before Elijah ever showed up. She was more or less, I guess, expecting him. And so we see that she was a woman who had faith. What was she expecting? What did she think was going to happen when he got there? Well, I don't know exactly, but when he arrived, like many travelers, he was hungry and thirsty. And he finds her there, and he asks for water. Maybe there was a little bit of relief on her part, saying, whew, you know, just some water, I guess I can handle that. But then he asks for food. He asks for something to eat. Bring me a morsel of bread. That's where the story really unfolds. I don't know if Elijah, I don't know if God had revealed to Elijah all these circumstances as of yet. The text doesn't tell us. But certainly, if he hadn't found out before this moment, he knew now. And God, of course, would work through Elijah to reverse this situation. But obviously, the impact of how bad this situation was, well, it hit him. She was already very aware of it. And I guess maybe it's fair to say this lady was having a hard time with it. I don't know if anybody would ever diagnose her, or if we would have enough knowledge to diagnose her as clinically depressed or anything of that nature. But she couldn't have been just the most upbeat, the most optimistic. In fact, she said, I'm going home to make this meal, verse 12, and prepare it for myself and my son, that after we eat it, well, the inevitable will follow. Eventually, we're going to die because there's nothing else. I have not. And the sadness, the sorrow, the depression, she sees only death on the horizon. She sees only the end in the future. And you know, oftentimes, and I'm not trying to be too hard on this widow in the text, but oftentimes when we focus on what we don't have, when all we think about is, I have not, depression will follow. Sadness will follow. Sorrow will follow. And if we focus on it long enough and hard enough, we will only see death on the horizon. Now, granted, her circumstances were as real as could be. And I'm not trying to be too difficult or condemn her at all. No doubt, I think any one of us in this poor lady's situation maybe would have said exactly the same thing. And yet, we must also realize, as we have already mentioned, that she knew who God was. And to some degree, there was some element of faith in her life. But the I have not situation that was so very prominent, so very pressing, so very real to her, was almost perhaps making her forget her faith. To that, Elijah responds with our second analysis of the text in verse 13. Fear not. Fear not. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, "Fear not. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a small cake, bring it to me that I may eat it, and then you make some for yourself and your son." Fear also is a factor in this situation. And maybe we don't think about it so much until Elijah mentions it in verse 13. But obviously, in addition to all the depression, the anxiety, the hopelessness, the despair, she was also afraid. She really didn't know what the future held. To her, it held death. But she didn't really know exactly how all of that would unfold. And so Elijah tells her, and I think, very lovingly, fear not. Because while fear was inevitable, I guess, in this situation, fear, I suppose, is something that we would understand as common to all of us at one time or another. In fact, if we look back in the Scriptures, in Genesis chapter 3, when sin entered the world, you may recall that in chapter 3, after Adam and Eve had sinned, that God calls for them. And in Genesis chapter 3, The response of man in verse 10 is, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was, what does it say? Afraid. I was afraid. You see, the response of fear was the first emotional evidence of what sin does to you. Of what the fall of man, as it's sometimes called, has done to each and every one of us. Adam had no reason to be afraid of God or God's voice prior to this moment, prior to sin. Yet we understand how fear, sin, in certain situations bring about in our hearts and minds a great deal of fear, anxiety. We apply to this situation. It's not that this widow was suffering necessarily because of sin, her own personal sin, but there's fear. There's so many kinds of fears besides just ones about sin and the fall from a state of grace. We have fears about our families. We have fears about our health. We have fears about our finances. We have fears about so many different things. We have anxiety. We don't necessarily know what's next down the pike. We don't know what's coming. We don't know how it's coming. We don't know when it's coming. And sometimes, you know, we think, you know, if I could just know, you know, what the answer was. If I could just, you know, sometimes knowing is better than not knowing. And I understand that. And I, you know, largely agree with that. But sometimes we just get so bent out of shape by all these things that are mostly out of our hands, mostly out of our control. I mean, the widow couldn't do anything about this famine. And so fear sets in. And then if we're not careful, you know, we begin to worry and we begin to focus on the fear rather than our faith. And fear becomes the predominant driving power in our heart and mind. And we let fear drive the engine rather than faith. And somewhere in the midst of all that, whatever it may be, we need to hear those words of Elijah again. Fear not. You know, those words are repeated by Jesus. Those words are repeated many different occasions in the Scripture about fear not. Those are words that we need to hear. And specifically, as we come back to this context in 1 Kings 17, the fear that he is encouraging her to avoid concerns doing what would have been the last thing in her mind. She thought she had enough food for herself, her family, and that was it. And the last thing on her mind would have been to make something for someone else. Not that she was being selfish. Not that she was being greedy. Not that she, you know, was some kind of evil person like that. But she's just thinking, no, this is it. I'm going to die. And so we're going to eat this and, you know, we're checking out. And yet Elijah tells her to do something that could only be done by faith and wouldn't be done by fear. You see that? You see, if she had really capitalized on the emotion of fear, there's no way she would have done what Elijah asked her to do in verse 13. But because she would not let fear totally drive the engine, oh, it was there. But because she would not let fear totally drive the engine, faith would prevail. And by faith, she would do what almost was unthinkable. She would take what she thought was her last meal and give it to someone else. Knowing that starvation, that was her last hope from avoiding it. And starvation and death would come only the quicker. But she made the decision, not out of fear, but out of faith, to provide Elijah's request. And she made the food for him first. And then you notice, and we understand supernaturally what happens after this. You know, Elijah tells her, then make some for yourself and for your son. For thus says God, verse 14, the food you have, the supplies you have to make food, the flour and the oil, will not dissipate. It will not be used up. It will waste not. So we understand here this principle that about putting God first, that Jesus enunciated over Matthew 6:33, as seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, she understood that by faith, not by fear. Because if we let fear drive the engine, well, we're not going to get very far. So when we give God priority, it helps us overcome our fears with faith. That's exactly what happened here. So now that brings us to our third analysis of the text, using the word not. First, there's I have not. Second, there's fear not. But now there's wasted not. We're seeing how the transition is made from I have not to what she had, wasted not. It did not run out. Verse 16, it was not used up. It wasted not. You see, and as we think about that, I'm pretty sure things turned out a whole lot better than she expected. She thought she was going to die. And yet, we see God working through Elijah, her faith responding in obedience. It turned out a whole lot better than she expected. You know, when we put our situations, when we put our lives in God's hands, that's the way it happens. It always works out much better when we let God work it out for us. Or we think we know how it ought to happen. See, she thought she knew how to handle this. And the way she was going to handle it was make one last meal, eat it, and die. That was not on the agenda as far as God was concerned. He said, oh no, you're not going to make that last meal. You're going to keep making meal after meal, food after food after food. And notice the text says, so she and he and her household ate for many days. And so we see how it worked out, and all those things that she feared didn't happen. Isn't that so true? Most of the time, with the things that we worry about, the things that we fear, you know, we have something, you know, an event coming up, or a doctor visit, or you know, some kind of a life changing situation potentially is on the horizon here. Big things, you know, and we don't know how it's going to happen, and so we start, you know, the processor starts cranking out all these negatives and all these problems and all these situations where how bad this is going to be. And you know, we take it to the nth degree, you know, about how negative it is and how bad it will be. And almost every time it's never that bad. You know, I'm not saying it's always great, okay? But it's hardly ever that bad as we make it out to be. And this widow was making it out to be pretty bad. But that's not the way it happened. In fact, it was just quite the opposite. Why? Because she put God first, and she put her faith in Him. She put more faith in her God than her fears. And that made all the difference. And sometimes I'm afraid we put entirely too much faith in our fears and our worries than we do our God. And so because she did that, the text tells us that the food she had, verse 16, wasted not. Now, from our analysis of the text, using the word not these three different times, I want us to draw two very brief but practical lessons. Number one, practical lesson number one from our text, you cannot outgive God. That's not original with me, by the way. But you cannot outgive God. In fact, in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, God challenged His people to try it. And he and basically he said, but let me let you in on something. You can't do it. You cannot out-give God. The book of Galatians, and it's coupled, and you couple Galatians 6 with some passages over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 about giving and our material resources. The basic principle there is, you know, that he that sows sparingly, what? Will reap sparingly. But that he that sows abundantly will reap abundantly. So we cannot out-give God. Now, this involves our faith. This involves us confronting our fears and not caving into them and having more faith in our God than faith in our fears. But I think a very basic lesson, a very practical outcome that you see from this text is that you cannot outgive God. Remember that. Practical lesson number two. God is faithful at all times. Famine? God's faithful. Plenty? God's faithful. You know, it's easy to see when it's all going our way. It's easy to see when everything's in the positive column. But we have to remember, and I think this scenario is a demonstration of that, that even when things are not going our way, even when everything's over in the, we check it all off in the negative column, God is still faithful. Because God is faithful at all times. God will not neglect His own. God will not forget His own. God will always care and provide for His own. Why? Because the principle is, the practical outcome of this, the practical lesson is that God is faithful at all times. Remember that. And be blessed by these two very practical lessons from this unnamed widow who lived centuries and centuries ago that is providing us with a marvelous lesson on faith tonight. And thank God for men like Elijah who walk into those situations and also demonstrate a marvelous lesson about faith as well. So, do not let fear rob you of your faith. Do not let fear rob you of the joy of living. Trade your fears for faith. Have more faith in God than faith in your fears. And put God first. Put Christ in first place in your life. And do what faith would have you to do versus what fear would have you to do. And realize you cannot give God, and that God will always be faithful and provide for you every single time. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful and thankful for the Bible. We're grateful and thankful for these marvelous stories of faith and perseverance, especially the one we have studied tonight. And Father, we pray that it has drawn us closer to Your Word and closer to You, that it has helped our faith and that it will help our faith from this day forward, that we will not fear as much as we have. We will not worry as much as we have. We will not have the anxiety and depression perhaps as much as we have when we contemplate all the things that could go wrong. But because You are in charge, we put our faith in You. And we know that as long as we keep it there, eventually everything will always go right. Father, help us to remember that in our darkest hours, our trying times, and those very challenging moments. Forgive us when we have failed, when we've fallen short. Strengthen us to draw closer to You in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. The song of invitation has been given to you, and you've marked it in your book. It'll be on the screen in just a moment. There may be someone here tonight who needs to give a heart of faith to Jesus Christ. And no longer give fear the upper hand, but give faith the driving power in your life. Maybe there is someone here who needs prayers for forgiveness, someone who needs prayers for strength, prayers for whatever challenges you may be facing in your life or whatever circumstances you may be dealing with. There's no problem too small to take to God. There's no problem too insignificant to take to God or to bring before your brethren, that we may encourage you and that we may bless one another, because God is always faithful and God always provides for His own. So if you need Him to provide for you, would you come tonight as we stand and we sing?